He's right there. Hallelujah. The word of God says that wait upon the Lord shall what? And they shall mount up. They shall run. Walk. Hallelujah. They upon the Lord. It didn't say that they that wait for the Lord. It's they that wait upon the Lord. That same serving that she started to sound the refrain on at the end. That's what the author was talking about. They that wait on the Lord, that earnestly shall renew their strength. Come on, somebody. Anybody need strength today? I learned that the next program is a 12. Just assume. So, strap yourself in. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just bless you this morning. We thank you for this gathering of your people who have run into your house to commune with you. Yes, they could have communed anywhere because you are omnipresent, but they followed your word in not forsaking the assembly of the saints together. And they came together corporately to worship you, God. So today we say, hallowed be thy name. We worship you. We adore you. We love you. You are an awesome God. We pause again to say thanks for all that you've done, but more importantly, God, for all that you are. You're intrinsically good. You're a good, good father. And you don't withhold good things from your children. We ask, O God, that as your word goes forth today, O God, that it would find good soil, that we would be listening ears, that are the eyes of our understanding, O God, would be enlightened. O God, that we would lean in, we would pay attention, we would pay heed to your word, because your word brings light. Your word brings life. Your word is active and powerful and sharp and divides and ministers and heals and sets free. Your word, that at your word, that at your name, every demon would tremble and flee. That by your word we can stand in assurance and feel your healing and deliverance and redemption. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, our help, we acknowledge you, Holy Ghost, for being here, for being present. You are our present help. Oh God, that even means you are our found help. Oh God, because we seek and we search for you, because you're not far from any one of us. So we ask, oh God, that your word would go forth. As you promise, it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which it set out to do. So we bless your name and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 When you last saw me, if you last saw me, I was at the youth program. And it would appear like Jacob that I was touched by an angel. I had a limp. I had some devices. 2 months ago, I tore my Achilles because I am still young, but my body is less young than 20 years ago. I was playing basketball with some younger folk, and I was headed to the Final Four, and then, you know, I just planted my left leg, and something popped. But I had surgery, and I feel healed, somebody. We thank God for doctors, but I know who the healer is. Because based on my physical therapist, I'm not supposed to be like walking like this yet. It's only 6 weeks. But I know that God has healed me and he's teaching me some lessons to slow down, like Brother Yuda, and to slow down like a lot of brothers and sisters here. I thank God for this place. I always have to begin that way. You know, 20 years ago, I walked in here as a young lad going to Brooklyn College. International student from Guyana. And I thank God for this place. You know, it may seem that we have run away, but we have not. This was the initial foundation of the reception and the love and the family and the relationships here have sustained me through generations. Matthew Allwood is one of my best friends, you know? The generations have sustained me, and I thank God for all of you and seeing your faces. As I was preparing, I was reflecting on the season of Easter. I was reflecting on the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit led me to the life of Peter. And there's some principles from the life of Peter I would just like to bring to you very quickly. Did we read the scripture? I don't think so. We can just read quickly some of Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. So it was as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word," tell somebody, "at your word, I will let down the net." Verse 6 says, "And when they had done this, they caused a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And also when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all." Say so, forsook all. "And followed him." Peter is one of those interesting characters. As believers, a lot of times we idolize men and women of God like they were these perfect folk. And it was my wife, I bring you greetings from my wife, Jonelle, and my 8-year-old son, Aiden. It's Jonelle who always keeps it real for me, you know, and keeps me always remembering that these were just regular folk who were sinful and disgusting, just like some of us. And Peter was no different. He was incredibly human. And more I feel like I can relate to Peter, you know? Some of you don't want to relate to Peter because you want people to believe that you don't curse anymore. But, you know, God knows. Right? He had a dynamic personality. There are times he seemed very impulsive. There are times where out of his mouth seemed to come revelation of Christ, and then the next couple of words that come seem to be contrary to the word of God. He seemed like such a funny character. Sometimes he seemed like he was ready to chop off somebody's ear, and at other times he seemed like he was about to hand off loaves and fishes and feed people. You know, one time you'll find him promising undying devotion to Jesus, and the next he's standing in the courtyard denying him. At one time he's calculated, and another time he's overzealous and impulsive. Despite his imperfections, there is something about his heart that is attractive to Jesus. Along with James and John, Peter shares an intimacy with Jesus that's unparalleled among the apostles. Many a time, Jesus is about to do something really great, and he chases everybody away, and he keeps Peter, James, and John. When they're on the Mount, of Transfiguration, the word was slipping me. Who was with him? Peter, James, and John. So interesting how God chooses the more imperfect people. And today, as we walk with God and we feel more and more like Jesus and closer to perfection, we forget the people that Jesus came for. He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power. He came to his own, the perfect ones, the ones who were following the law, and his own receive them not. Jesus does something wonderful with Peter. So Jesus showed up on the shore and he asks Peter to cast out the boat, go out deeper. Maybe in your life, Jesus is asking the same thing. Maybe you're in your comfort zone. Maybe you've tried it all, you've tested it all, you've tried your hardest with your kids, you've tried your hardest on your job, you've tried your hardest in your business. And Jesus is saying, you know, why don't you trust me? Cast out a little further. Maybe it's to give ourselves the resources that we need when we feel depleted and frustrated. Maybe it's to do something in service to others when we don't feel like it. Cast out. Maybe it's to make a career change or to exit a certain sphere of people. Maybe it's to do something that seems quite silly to the natural eye. Cast out. Go a little deeper. Maybe it's to launch into the deep. Maybe it's to stretch ourselves beyond our human capacity that we can see his glory. What is the result of Peter's obedience? Abundant blessing. Abundant blessing. He gets a glimpse of the manifest glory of God, something that is not ordinary, something that's powerful, something that shows the very presence and the power of God. And it is out of that experience that it reveals like an image to himself how unworthy he is to be in the presence of such a holy God. My first point today is when you see Jesus, when you come to grips with the man Jesus, you have to be humbled. That's the only response is humility. The only response is bent knees. The only response is worship. The only response is obedience. This is a very proud career man. I've been in admissions for 20 years. I'm now the director of enrollment at a Christian school called the Stony Brook School in Stony Brook. Anybody with child age kids, 7 to 12, God has put me in that place so you can talk to me. All right? Just putting it out there. But imagine Jesus coming to me and say, you know, Luke, you don't need to look at their transcripts. You don't need their essays or their recommendations. Just admit them. I'd be like, Jesus, that's not how it works, man. Like, that's not the protocol. That's not the process. Like, this is fisherman Jesus. He knew the process. But here was Jesus overruling his legalistic thinking, his way of doing things. Many are the plans of a man's or a woman's heart. But what? It's the Lord's purposes that prevail. So lesson one is we've got to humble ourselves in the face of a glorious God. The second context with Peter that God brought to me is Jesus is about to be led away to be killed. And Peter is confronted three times by individuals who identify him as a follower of Jesus. Peter's response is to deny Christ. Now Jesus gave him a preview. I mean, Jesus is the ultimate prophet. Be like, I'm telling you, in a couple of days you're going to deny. Like, I'm giving you a heads up, bro. He got a heads up, and he still couldn't help himself. That's what fear does. He's a human being. He is seeing his Savior. He is seeing somebody he thought would overthrow the Roman government. He is seeing someone he thought would save him in a fleshly self, in a fleshly way, and make him like a champion partner, seeing him about to be stretched out, naked, bleeding, bloodied, bruised, beaten, chastised, spat upon, despised. And he's like, I don't want to be associated with that because I don't want to be next because right now, the temperature is hot in this place. It's getting hot. I want to run. I would have done the same thing. I'm mean, some of y'all think you ought to be in there and y'all would have just lined up to be crucified. No. If I hadn't denied him, I got two legs, I would run, you know. Human Peter. He denied Jesus. But the beauty of Jesus is that there's a redemption plan for all of us. Jesus prophesied at the Last Supper, what would happen. Now the dilemma is, could Peter ever face Jesus again? My God. There are so many ones of us that the devil is using a thing called shame to keep us down. And as I was praying last night, God began to show me that it's not just your sin that you weighed down in, but sometimes it's the sin of your kids that's got you walking around in shame. And you're taking the blame and you're feeling bad that somebody saw your son or your daughter do something bad. Maybe it even made the news, maybe not. But God has freed you from such shame. There is therefore now no condemnation. He has freed you from that shame. Could you imagine? This is a couple of days later, folks. This is not a long time. This is not even the day of Pentecost, which is, 50 days removed from the resurrection. This is just a couple of days, and Jesus is God. He hasn't forgotten. From the foundation of the world, he saw what Peter was going to do. He is not surprised by Peter's actions, but he is looking down into his heart. And he sees that this is an imperfect man, this is an imperfect woman, but this is somebody with a heart after me. They're trying, they're yearning, they want to do better. And I've got to show them a way. Jesus appeared to his disciples in this second context after his resurrection. The third appearance is John 21. Peter and a few other disciples went out to fish, to do the familiar thing, to do what they know how to do, to feed their family. And again, they caught nothing. Tell somebody, flashback. Here comes Jesus again, reminding him that this same Jesus that called you the first time is about to call you again. This same Jesus is about to give you a second chance. Tell somebody he's the God of the second chance. Man, I'm so passionate about Jesus today because I know I messed up. If nobody else knows, me and my wife knows. Because sometimes everybody else outside think you're pretty awesome, right? People on the job think you're awesome. you know, your friends think you're awesome. But God knows you. And he's got work to do on all of us. But despite that, Jesus decides to give Peter another chance. When they had finished eating, I'll get there. So Jesus tells them another time in John 21, cast your net on the right side and bring in a catch. I don't even know if then he knew it was Jesus, but somebody in the boat, I think it was John, acknowledged him as Lord. And it's so amazing, the visual. Peter wrapped whatever clothes he didn't have on back on, and he jumped out the boat. I don't know what he saw, but it had to be grace. Because the normal reaction would have been to run and hide in shame. Here is the person who he has denied. He didn't stick by his friend. And somehow in that moment, he saw a Jesus with arms outstretched saying, I'm still here. And he jumped in that boat. He jumped into that water and he swam to Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm not ready for you yet. Go back and get that fish. I want you to touch. I want you to remember this. Because I'm about to leave out of here. You've got to touch and remember. Look at those nets. There's 152 fish in there. Look at those nets. It's not even ripped. It's pretty late, but there's not even a hole in the net. Bring those fish to me. But Jesus was already cooking on the fire. Jesus already had fish. He didn't need it. So here is Jesus asking Peter now, do you love me? And Jesus says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he asks him again, Simon, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then imagine the audacity of Peter. Jesus asked him a third time, and he's about to get vexed. He's about to go back to old Peter. I mean, like, come on, man. Why you got me repeating myself? But for every time that Jesus was denied, every time, Peter now had to reaffirm his love. And with every time he affirmed his love, Jesus gave him an assignment. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Go do my work. Expand my kingdom. So the second point, very quickly, is despite our shortcomings, God still wants to use us. We are never too far from redemption or forgiveness. A broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Now the third context is now after the day of Pentecost, and I wish I had more time to talk about the day of Pentecost, because God knows we need Acts chapter 2 in some of our places, you know? We need the invitation of the power of the Holy Ghost. Out of that Pentecost experience, that was a fulfillment of the other Pentecost experience after the Passover, came Pentecost. And with that Pentecost and the law came 3,000 dead people. With the new Pentecost, with the promised Holy Spirit, there was a sound in both places. This time he inscribed his tabernacle, his writing on not stone tablets, but on hearts. And the result was 3,000 lives saved. One Pentecost, the law, death. Second Pentecost, Jesus, grace, life. Here is Peter now in Acts chapter 4 with John. They were locked up by the temple guard for preaching about Jesus. The next day, the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem and began to question the two disciples. Peter immediately spoke up and preached to them. Here is bold Peter now, not afraid to die for Jesus, because he had a second encounter, a true encounter with the grace and the love of God. He finishes by telling them, salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter, Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, and John, and realized that they were on school, tell somebody on school. Ordinary men, tell somebody, ordinary men and women. That's who Jesus uses. Not the stuck-up ones who know all the theology and got all the, you know, you hear me speaking, I probably stumbled a few times right here too, I'm preaching. You probably correct me 5 times, you know, for every misword. But God will still use you with your imperfection. Unschooled, ordinary, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with who? The third and final point is when you have been with Jesus, everybody will know. You wouldn't have to broadcast it. They will just know. Because you and your ordinary self can't accomplish anything. We, that is our flesh, no good thing. But by his Spirit, by his power, by his anointing, we can do all things through Christ. So as we close, I want us to reflect on those three points. Is our experience with God bringing us to a place of humility and obedience? Is our experience with Jesus helping us realize that despite our misgivings and shortcomings, He's still willing to use us? And based on our relationship with Jesus, do the people around us know who Jesus is? By our relationships, by our actions, by our demonstration, by our love, will they all know that we are His disciples? It's by your love. It's by your actions. So tonight as I close, morning. You see, I told you some people would correct me. I told you. The correcting saints. It is morning. We have an opportunity today. If we don't know Jesus, to commit our life to the one who doesn't judge, who doesn't see our wrong and think that we're worthless, but He sees in us what He intended, His purpose, from the very foundation of the earth, that we would be joined with Him, that we'd be united with Him. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, there is an invitation to come to Him. You don't have to be perfect like Peter. Even after walking with Jesus for years, he was far from perfect. But upon the precept of his understanding of who Jesus was, he was able to build his church. And the gates of hell still can't hold. For those who know Jesus today and sort of have lost touch with the fire and the excitement of that first experience, God is here to rekindle that fire. Because some of you might be touching on 80 or 85 or whatever the numbers are now. Well, He still wants to use you with your grandkids, with your neighbors, to infuse in them the good news of salvation. So I will just pray very quickly. This first prayer is for those who don't know Jesus. You can just say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son Jesus. I thank you that you came, you died, and you rose again so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Today, Jesus, I commit my life to you. Make me over. Make me new. Use me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those who know Jesus but are yearning for a deeper experience, are yearning for a deeper walk, you can say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're the God of a second and a third chance. I thank you that you see my heart and you know that I love you. Now, God, I ask that you use me. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Help me, O God, to follow and obey you. Help me, O God, to search after you because you're still near. Heal my heart, God. Heal my body. Release me, O God, from every shame, from every weight, from every sin, that so easily besets me. Set me free, because your word says, whoever you have set free is free indeed. So now I receive your freedom, your healing, your deliverance, in Jesus' name.